Welcome to Around the Ozarks, a public affairs program brought to you by your local Midwest Family Broadcasting Station. Here's your host, Scott Meyer.
And good morning and welcome to Around the Ozarks. I'm your host each and every week, Scott Meyer, the general manager here at the Midwest Family Radio Stations. And as we try to do each and every week on Around the Ozarks, bring folks from the community that are from any number of different walks of life. Sometimes we have entrepreneurs. We try to stay away from politicians as much as possible for good reason, especially this time of the season when we're getting close to the political season. Lots of local authors, certainly people from the great charity work that's being done in Southwest Missouri. And this morning, we're going down the road on the charitable road, but a little different look at it, because this is somebody I've gotten to know over the last few years, Michelle Garand.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Michelle.
Yes. Good morning.
And Scott's fine. Sir was my father, and he passed in 1987, but I appreciate that. But Michelle is working as the your title here on your Facebook page is Vice President of Affordable Housing and Homeless Prevention.
Yes.
But the encompassing part of your work is called One Door.
Yes. So One Door is actually a program at Community Partnership, and it is located at our Springfield Affordable Housing Center. So it really is one of our anchor projects that we have and that we offer to the community.
Well, I invited Michelle this morning for a number of reasons, but I'm fascinated by the work that she's doing, especially with the homeless here in Springfield, which, of course, we see and interact with on a daily basis all over the community. Quite frankly, we have a camp that comes and goes behind our building here every once in a while. Actually, the tent was there just this last week, but excuse me, it's since moved on. But the bottom line is one of the things that that you preach, Michelle, is that your group provides that access for somebody to not have to go to a bunch of different places. They can come to to the center and really get taken care of. Why don't you have a talk track through what happens if I'm homeless and I hear about One Door, or how would I even know it exists?
Well, there has been just this marvelous evolution of trying to help people get through and streamline through that whole network of services. We're really lucky in the Ozarks to have such a robust system of care. We have a lot of people that are doing great things. But like you said, how do they know? Where do they go? Our faith communities and our business communities have become much more aware of One Door, so that we can really just be that referral source from all different aspects. This is a great way to get information out as well. But really, word of mouth within the homeless population also has been fantastic for us. But really, when someone is experiencing homelessness or is about to experience an episode of homelessness, if they come into One Door, then we really can connect them with not only housing and shelter resources, but some of those other things that really make life a little bit easier. So whether it's food or clothing, emergency shelter, anything that we can do. We have this very generous donor, Charlie O'Reilly, that provides some gas vouchers for us. So often people need to get to work, even if they are experiencing homelessness, and gas vouchers are something that that have come in handy. So by having that single point of entry, that does many things. Of course, it does help people understand exactly what's out there and what's available to them. It keeps them from going from one agency to another. So they're telling their story, which is often traumatic, and is not filled with wonderful things. And so not having to retell that story 100 times to get a food pack is really something that our community has rallied around. And so by coming to One Door, they can tell their story once, we can get them in our system of care, and we can share that information with agencies in a much more appropriate way, and only share information that is needed by the agencies that are supporting them.
Michelle Garand is my guest this morning. She of CPO and also overseer of the One Door. What do we call it? One Door. What do we call that?
It's One Door.
It's just One Door.
It's just One Door.
Let's take a step back if we can, Michelle. Who is Michelle Garand? Are you from here?
Okay. Yes, I am. I was born and raised in Springfield, Missouri. So okay. I was born at St. John's. So that tells you a little
old,
bit about my age. You know, it wasn't the nursing hospital, but kind of close to
right.
that. But yeah, I love this community. I have seen this community grow and become so rich and beautiful in so many different ways. And I wouldn't ever leave it. Springfield is my home.
So high school, which high school?
I went to Parkview.
Okay.
Parkview High School.
And then
a Viking.
A Viking, okay. And then college?
College. I went to college here as well.
SMS, I tell
you. It was SMS.
Sure.
It was
okay.
SMS. It will always be SMS to me.
And you have a family?
I do. I have two children. I have a daughter who is attending the OTC through the A-plus program, so doing fantastic, and what a great program that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a son who is a junior in high school, so our life is a little bit busy going from place to place. He's a ridiculously active little kid, so that's a good thing.
So that keeps you busy as well.
Yes.
Now, so when you went to college at SMS or MSU now, what were you majoring in?
So I got my degree in psychology, and I blame my mentor, Dr. David Dixon, on getting me hooked on nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my final semester, I did my internship somewhere. I thought I wanted to do juvenile justice, but I just it broke my heart. The career path I was looking at that point. I knew that my heart was there and I wanted to help, but just not in that way. And Dr. Dixon connected me with Community Partnership of the Ozarks, and I've been there ever since. I just celebrated 21 years there.
Is that right? It's
yes.
been that long. Well,
it's
good
been
for
that
you.
Long.
The yeah. you know, working in any charitable organization is never mm-hmm. easy. And,
right.
and I'm amazed at the number of organizations in this community. I mean, mm-hmm. if you take other communities of this size, I can't imagine there are many, and I've lived and worked around a number of them that have half as many as we have here, and they also seem to get along pretty good, which mm-hmm. sometimes that's not the case,
yes.
and there's a lot of overlap, and mm-hmm. I don't know that we see a ton of overlap here, mm-hmm. but there is some. But I think community partnership, for me anyway, really opened my eyes when I came to this community 4 years ago as to a real opportunity to kind of take a step back and see a lot of these organizations, how they work together,
yes.
and certainly to learn more about organizations like One Door.
Exactly, yes. And that has been really the guiding principle of Community Partnership of the Ozarks, and how we were really founded was to eliminate duplication and replication of services and to fill gaps. So duplication is not a bad thing if the services or the needs outweigh the resources that are there. So that's fine. But really, we don't want to see a lot of resources going to many different places mm-hmm. if we can co-locate things, or we can really, target those and get those to the individuals. So, you know, when you're talking about collaboration and you're talking about many people working together for the greater good, One Door and the coordinated entry system is a perfect example of that. Because really what needed to happen, many years ago, HUD, Housing and Urban Development, which provides a lot of our funding and guidance, they said that they really wanted to reduce the amount of places that people had to go to in order to receive services. And so they really were forcing communities to do some coordinated entry system programming. That meant that all of our agencies that are serving the homeless had to agree upon a common assessment tool. Mm-hmm. They had to come together to let One Door take those assessments in and then prioritize individuals. So now that all the agency has to do, you know, quote unquote, is come to the table right. and say, we have a unit available. It's for a mom and with kids, or it's for a family with children. And we take the highest priority. We get the referrals to them. And really that does fast track the entire process. We keep the files active so we know, for the most part, where individuals are. We have them come back and talk to us every 3 months for lots of reasons, so that we know when services come up that we can get them in quickly, but then also just to check on their well-being. Are there things that you need? Are there resources that we can get you, or have things changed? So,
how long has One Door been in existence?
One Door actually began in the community, I believe, in 2009. So, Community Partnership of the Ozarks, when we launched our Springfield Affordable Housing Center, we adopted the One Door program. We brought it under our umbrella, that was in 2013. And that's really when things started to change at the national level, really looking at coordinated entry as a mandated initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, my goodness, that program and our team there, last year we saw 12,000 referrals to our program, really individuals that were in some type of housing crisis. The majority are homeless, and then the majority of those literally homeless. So we have people that are really living in housing that isn't suitable.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not have running water. They may not have electricity. And we, especially if there are children in the home, we definitely want to get them into something a little, of course, safer. Our goal is to have everyone in Springfield living in safe, decent, affordable, and accessible housing. And so One Door is that entry point to try to help people get
there.
I
got to ask you one really tough question. Well, any charity work involves a beginning, middle, and end, or what you would like to see is beginning, middle, and end.
Sure.
And your last statement, I think everybody would love to see that happen. How does that happen? Because wouldn't it be reasonable to think that if people see Springfield as a place that really takes great care of the homeless,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't more homeless then venture to Springfield? I mean, it would seem to me as though it may be never ending.
Well, I will tell you that the nation as a whole has had a paradigm shift in how we're serving the homeless. So HUD, or Housing and Urban Development, they have discontinued a lot of funding for emergency shelters because that's very expensive. And they know that the dollars would be better spent on making sure that you are in a place that you can stay for a long period of time, help you get some roots and your feet under you, and have some wraparound case management to help with all of those day-to-day challenges. It's called Housing First.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as a national model, we're not asking people to be housing ready. We're putting them in housing and then helping them maintain housing. And so so that's happening everywhere. We're doing it well here. Mm-hmm. We've seen our numbers decrease significantly locally.
Really?
So you are seeing
progress.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, we... Scott, yes, Scott.
That's right.
We are saying that. We do a point in time count every year, and we're mm-hmm. getting ready to do that next week. And really, that's just a one day snapshot that happens across the nation to see where are we today with our homeless, whether they're sheltered or unsheltered. So locally, we've gone from about 700 to 750 each night to about 500 a night. And so that's just within the last 5 years.
Oh, that's great.
So yes, it's fantastic. And it really is because our agencies are making a collective impact on the homeless population. So they've all, they're working as that coordinated system of care. Mm-hmm. And we all are engaged in that model that says, you know, let's get people, let's get their basic needs met. Housing is the very first one, you know, trying to help them get stabilized from there. So a lot of the funding that comes in will help people kind of stair step out of that. So they put them in, they're paying the majority of the rent, helping them with job security or system security, and then they phase that assistance out.
My guest this morning on Around the Ozarks is Michelle Garand, and Michelle, one of the things when we break here in just a moment, when we come back, I love to have stories, and I'm mm-hmm. sure you've interacted with a few people.
Mm-hmm. It
wasn't that long ago we had Randy Bacon on the show.
Oh,
again.
My goodness, yeah.
And Randy went through his 1,000 faces. What is it, 1,000? Oh, I should have known that. I don't remember now. It's 1,000 something, but it's the stories of, it's the backstories, really, of many of the homeless here in Springfield. It's a phenomenal a phenomenal work in portraits and stories. But if you don't mind, I'd like to come back and be able to have you share a few of those stories.
Of course.
You're listening to Around the Ozarks on the Midwest Family Radio Stations. We'll be back right after this.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes that no matter what you do in this life, you keep doing. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
Welcome back to the second half of Around the Ozarks this morning. I'm your host, Scott Meyer, the general manager here at the Midwest Family Stations. And this morning, we're in the middle of a conversation with Michelle Garand, she of overseeing the One Door campaign. Not really a campaign, the One Door. Why can't I think of the right word for it? It's a program.
It's a
the
program.
One Door program,
yes.
Which is part of the community partnership of the Ozarks. But it helps homeless in our city and this region, this area, to the point where, as we found out just before we went to break, that in fact there's fewer homeless now because this whole project is working.
Yes. So fewer homeless on the streets.
Yeah.
Yes.
And more in positions where they can get a hold of their lives if they need to and move forward.
Yes.
One of the things I wanted, Michelle, if she'd be kind enough to share, we were talking about Randy Bacon before the break, and Randy and his 7 Billion Ones campaign where he's introducing so many of us locally. And if you haven't seen it yet, you should. He's got an incredible studio and I think an offering at the Springfield Art Museum as well of faces and backstories of many of the homeless that you encounter every day and maybe don't even see. Or you go out of your way not to see, which is okay. People are people, and sometimes you just don't want to see that. But I had asked you to share a story or two if you had one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
It is fair, because I definitely, there are key groups of individuals that are really struggling in specific ways. Mm-hmm. And so we see... we see individuals that have been living on the streets a long time. That's kind of our picture of who the homeless are. They may have some chronic health conditions or mental health conditions. Maybe they're struggling with sobriety and that kind of thing. And they have their own specific needs. We had a gentleman that came to one of our biggest signature events called the Hope Connection. He had been living on the streets for 25 years and a chronic alcoholic. But he, in talking with him, we learned that he was a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And he was disconnected from the entire veteran system, but he was sick. You know, he's sick because of the alcohol. He's sick because his body has just been out there and beat up so much. Mm-hmm. And so we connected him with the VA, one of our partners in that coordinated entry system. The next day, he woke up at Cox sober for the first time in 15 years. He had really progressed into daily drinking to mm-hmm. that level. He was transported down to Mount Vernon to the Veterans Center there and received health care. They got him into housing, and that was 5 years ago. He's still housed, and he's still sober, and he's reconnected with his family. But often we see that individuals in his case, they're coming in, they're kind of tripping over our services. So they come in and they say, I need a bus pass. That's too far to walk. And so we give them a bus pass. We learn more and then we find this out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that have been living on the streets for a very long time that are working every single day. We have seen that the whole spectrum of poverty is really impacting housing. So we have so many individuals that just cannot maintain their housing through just paying rent or deposit. If mm-hmm. they have an eviction, you know, that kind of thing, they just can't do it. And so they come into a state of homelessness. And so really trying to get those households stabilized is something that's critical to us. One of the women that we met recently comes into our next sector, which is families with little kiddos or with kids, and they're really trying to navigate the system. They're trying to work, and they're trying to, you know, make sure that they're providing for their kids. She had been living in her car for several months after being doubled up with family for, you know, a great amount of time, working full time. She's working overnights, but she and her teenage son were living in their car. And so she didn't know about us, but she had gone to a church to see if they could help her. She needed a deposit. You know, she's working full time. I have money. I need the deposit. It's very expensive to move into a new place. And so she had been able to get all of the money that she needed together except for just a little bit at the end. So that faith community knew about us. They let her know, please go to One Door, see what they can do to help. And of course, we were able to try to fill in that little gap. Mm-hmm. Now she was home for the holidays. You know, but we know that that teenage child was attending school every single day. His grades were good, and he's living in a car, and that is unacceptable to me. Right. It's unacceptable to me. We also have youth. We have a lot of kiddos that are aging out of foster care, you know, so they've been in the system for a really long time and are exiting that without the supports that they need. And so we have a young adult, I guess, that has been homeless for several years after leaving the system. But when he came to us, he was 17, and he was completely disconnected from any kind of supports. He had left the foster care system, and he couldn't get into a unit on his own because he wasn't old enough to sign a lease. Mm-hmm. So there's just lots of different, there's a million stories. Randy's right. There are a billion stories.
Yeah, it's amazing, and they're all so different. And it's easy to make up your mind when you see somebody in that situation that they are some kind of a bad person, loser, whatever people think. And it's not always the case.
Not always the case. Absolutely,
Arguably, probably never the case. Really, you know, people don't put themselves necessarily in those situations by any want or desire.
Absolutely,
I'm sure there's a few that just choose that style of living. I get that,
the majority are, we met a gentleman who he was working full time at a great job, union work, and he collapsed at work. He had a brain aneurysm, and now he can't work. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have Social Security, and 2 months later, he's out of his housing because he hasn't paid rent. You know, evictions happen very quickly now, and so that just puts you in a spiral. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have a safety net with family or friends, then life gets very challenging.
You know, you're a tiny person with an awfully large heart. I don't know where you find room to put it. You wanted to be a psychologist. You had a psychology degree.
Yeah.
Yet you found yourself in a charity work. Was it something your parents drove you towards, or was it you just saw so much of this that you felt you had to do something? Or mindset that got you involved?
I am so blessed to come from an amazing family of givers, compassionate people, and empathetic. So I guess it's just always kind of been part of us. My grandfather was a dentist, and when he was starting his practice, he volunteered at the health department back when they were doing that, and he would do the teeth and the dentistry for the foster kids. And so there's just, there's just, you just have to give back. I mean, it's just what you do. And then, really finding an agency that allows all of us to have the freedom to give and to work our passion is just something that not a lot of people can do. So I don't know. I absolutely love community partnership, and it really is devoted to making the community a better place.
Well, your passion drives your message. There's no question. And I was intrigued the first time I met you. I mean, the passion drives the bus, so to speak. We had talked a little bit off air about a scenario where you pull up to a corner and there is somebody mm-hmm. there who mm-hmm. appears to be homeless mm-hmm. and they've got the sign and everything. What should people do? I mean, are you helping them by giving them a dollar or two, or is there something you would rather see them do or say?
I would like people need to give where whatever they want to do. So if they feel like a dollar will help, then that's fine. But always the message of One Door. You know, every single time, have you heard of One Door? And get them to our agency, or at least make them aware of that. We have cards that people can hand out that I am happy to give. So mm-hmm. give a dollar with our card. I would never sway people from assisting however they can. But really what needs to happen out of that interaction is trying to get them connected with our system of care. Mm-hmm. So whether the dollar helps or hurts, you know, we know a lot of people who just do not have access to any financial any finances. So they're not able to get a job for one reason or another. Sometimes it's an $11 state ID that is keeping them from gainful employment, you know, mm-hmm. so they're trying to survive. And so so being able to use that dollar to get on the bus or to use that dollar to, you know, get a hotel room, whatever it is, that is certainly a challenge for sure.
So. Well, speaking of money, then we talk about the other side of the coin here. Mm-hmm. What can we do to help you or help One Door get the message out more and mm-hmm. be able to assist? I would guess you can do a lot more with that $1.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you can
absolutely.
Do a lot more with that $1 than by handing it to somebody on the street corner.
Well, Scott, I mentioned that, you know, the IDs, that's something that we do a lot of. And I know the price has just increased. But, you know, for less than $20, you know, an individual that has an ID can now get into shelter. Now they can get into the housing programs, they can get employment, and they can get engaged with even food stamps or mm-hmm. or any kind of pantry assistance. An ID really is that gatekeeper to anything, any of those critical just basic needs. So if we have anyone that felt called to help in a small way, that would be absolutely huge to be able to help people with that. Of course, we have our diversion program that helps individuals make sure that they stay out of that shelter system. We have an incredible, stellar shelter system in our community, mm-hmm. but it's no place for kids, no matter what. And so what we try to do at One Door is really try to deter them from that system completely. And so funding, we have Mayor's Task Force on sheltering families with children. And really that pot of funds assists families where they are. So if they need to get back into housing, if they need to pay back rent, you know, something that can keep them from becoming homeless, that's definitely what we want to do. Mm-hmm. So yes, that dollar can translate to a family being completely stabilized.
How do they give that dollar to your organization?
They can go to cpozarks.org, and we have a donate button.
Okay.
We make it as easy as humanly possible.
How about volunteers?
So that's the thing that I know we don't have much time, but certainly we always welcome volunteers at Community Partnership of the Ozarks. But right now, in our critical winter months, our partners that are providing that crisis cold weather shelter at Grace United, East Sunshine, and even our Safe to Sleep program that's at Pathways United, they are all volunteer run. And we've had such a cold snap that really volunteering overnight, which is a big ask, is in critical demand right now. So they can call our office and ask for me, and I can get them connected wherever they want to go with that.
And they can find that by Googling One Door and get all the information they need.
Absolutely.
Michelle, will you come back and talk with us again?
I would love to. Yeah. I would love to.
I'm so glad you were able to come in.
Thank you for inviting me. This
Absolutely.
Is nice.
I'm going to say goodbye to Michelle Garand, who's the overseer of the One Door program, which is part of Community Partnership of the Ozarks here in Southwest Missouri. If you missed any of this morning's program, you can always hear the entire program on our website at mwfmarketing.fm. Click on the ATO button at the top. On the drop-down box, you can find Michelle Garand's story that we just covered this morning, as well as any other program we've had in the last year. So they're always there. I want to thank my very astute production guy this morning, Jay Stevens. Great job, Jay. Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for listening and hopefully helping out with the great work that they're doing at One Door. This has been Around the Ozarks. I'm Scott Meyer. Have a great Sunday morning, and we'll be back again next weekend.
Thank you for joining us for Around the Ozarks, a public affairs program brought to you by your local Midwest Family Broadcasting Station. Listen again next Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Find this and all other segments of Around the Ozarks at mwfmarketing.fm.